Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, in this day we rejoice, Lord, that we have the opportunity to come into thine house and to have thy word before us and to be gathered together as a people who love thee and who desire to hear from thy word and have thy word in front of us. Father, we just give thee thanks for the opportunities that we have even now. And Father, we recognize, Lord, and see that in parts of the world, Lord, that is being prohibited. Father, and so we just give thee thanks that thou hast given unto us, Lord, this opportunity to be together. Help us to use this time wisely, to redeem it to thy purposes and to thine honor and to thy glory, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to John's Gospel and read from chapter number 9.
Nađem sveto evanđelje po Jovanu, 9. glava.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And so there was a division among them. They say unto the man, the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been born blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto him, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. As we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, it is his name that we want to glorify. It is the name of Jesus that we want to hold dear to us more than anything else. And we've uttered that together in prayer, Lord, that the Lord would Lord Jesus would be supreme in our lives, and that he would be the reason why we're here, and it would be all because of him. The Jews had a high regard for their temple. They really placed that temple in high regard in their worship service and in everything that they did. The showbread that was in the temple, the keeping of the Sabbath in regards to the temple, and they really held it in high regard. But Jesus says, But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. He was telling them that Jesus himself is greater than anything else, than the temple, than the law that was brought forth. He came to fulfill that law, and he was greater than all. He was greater than everyone and everything. And so he told them that in this place is one greater than the temple. Likewise for us, sometimes we come to church on Sundays, and we hold Sundays in high regard. We're appreciative of our Sundays. We like the fellowship that we have with each other. We like to catch up with each other. We like to share with each other and what's going on in our lives. And we appreciate this building. It's a beautiful building, and it's holding up very well, and we're thankful for it as well. We're thankful for our style and format of worship service. We're thankful for all that God has done for us, but let's remember that Jesus is the reason we are here, and he is greater than all. Everything that we hold precious or dear to us, Jesus is greater than all. And so we're gathered together in Jesus' name, and let's keep him to be the focus of our lives, not only of our worship service, but of all aspects of our lives, that Jesus would be Lord of all, that we would glorify him. In this chapter that we read here, Jesus was pointing that out to them as well, that he is greater than all. He is greater than all. And they had a lot of questions in this chapter that we read together. I don't know exactly how many questions there are in this chapter, but there were a lot of questions that were put forth by the individuals in this chapter. Many of the questions began with how. If we keep Jesus and know that he is greater than all, the question should always be who. Same three letters, how and who, but they're arranged differently. And our arrangement should always be that we would ask of Jesus of who he is and always put him first and glorify him for who he is. This chapter is a follow-up to the previous chapter. It begins with and so there are events that transpired before what happened here on this day that this blind man received his sight. And we see that it was that Jesus was getting ready to be stoned by the Jews because he said, before Abraham was, I am. And so the Jews were getting ready to stone Jesus for his comment that he made. And it says that he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He went right through them. Even as they were trying to stone him, he went right through them. And he passed by. And then this chapter begins, and as he passed by, that he saw a man that was born blind, that he was blind from his birth. And so Jesus stops, and even in the midst of this threat that he had of being stoned, he stopped and took note of this man that was born blind. And obviously there's a lot of material here in this chapter and a lot of lessons that we can learn. But one of the lessons we can learn here is that Jesus' schedule was not so important that he didn't have the time to stop and address this and give glory to God by this man that was born blind. Likewise for our lives. In the culture that we live in, it's go, go, go. And our schedules are full. And we always have things to do. But let's make sure that we are giving openings and time, availability, for God to work, for God to do his part. And even if it is perhaps through us, that God would do his work. And so the disciples asked the master and said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's so easy, and it helps us when we can ascribe blame to someone or something. It helps us to fill our narrative. It helps us to understand and to know that, okay, what was the cause, and then we can determine what the effects are. If we can ascribe blame, now we know the cause and the fact, and it makes sense, and we can build our narrative, and we can bring an understanding to the situation that happened here. But Jesus responds and says, this man hath not sinned, nor his parents, that would cause the blindness, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And so let's let God do his working. Let's not ascribe blame. Let's let God do his working. And when God does his working and he does his great things that he does, let's acknowledge it, that God has done some great things, and we glorify him for it. That's the point of it, is that we glorify the Lord through that which he does, the works of God. And Jesus says, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh, and when no man can work. Then he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is that light. He illuminates us. He gives unto us spiritual vision. He gave the blind man a physical vision, and then that blind man progressed from that physical vision that he received to a spiritual vision. And likewise for us, as Jesus Christ is the light of the world, that we would progress continuously in a spiritual vision, a vision of knowing who God is, of knowing his glory, of knowing his greatness, coming to understand his greatness and his holiness and his omnipotence more and more and more. And we glorify him then for who he is and what he does. And so we walk by this faith. We walk by a vision that the Lord gives unto us, a spiritual vision, that we can see the world as Jesus would see the world. To have that vision. The psalmist said, open mine eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. The psalmist was likely had his sight, but he was asking for that spiritual vision, for eyes of faith, that his eyes would be opened, that he might behold wondrous things out of the law of the Lord, out of the word of God. That's our prayer as well, that we would ask the Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see the bigger picture. Help us to see more and more of his glory, of thy glory. And so Jesus Christ iterates to them again, I am the light of the world. In the previous chapter, he told the Jews likewise, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We glorify him. He is greater than all, greater than everyone and everything. There are things, again, that we might hold in high regard in our lives, that they're very important to us. We hold them dear and we cherish them and we guard them. But Jesus Christ is always greater than all. And let's ask the Lord, open our eyes that we might behold the wondrous deeds of God and know that his thoughts are far greater than our thoughts and his ways are far greater than our ways. Let's not limit the Lord. And so when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. In our culture, we're very sanitized, and we would view this as not quite sanitary. And yet, this is what the Lord hath done. He could have done other methods and other means of giving this man that was born blind his sight, but he chose this method. And so Jesus gives him direction and says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and which is by interpretation sent. And so I don't know exactly what the correlation is between Siloam and sent, and we know that Jesus Christ was sent. Perhaps there's a greater meaning here. I don't know. But John, the Apostle John, noted here that means sent. And so he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. This man that was born blind had simple obedience. He allowed Jesus to make clay of his spittle. He allowed Jesus to anoint his eyes. He followed the instruction of Jesus. He went to the pool of Siloam. He washed, and then he came seeing. It was that simple obedience, again, that we prayed about. This is what the Lord wants of us, is that obedience and a trust in him, that he will provide in his own way, knowing again that Jesus is greater than all. Let him have his way. Ours is to be obedient, to wait upon him, to trust in him, and then to follow through with obedience. Just as it was for Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, how he came to the prophet, and the prophet told him, go wash in the river Jordan 7 times, and you'll be cleansed of your leprosy. If Naaman chose not to, or if he chose to only do it 6 times, that would have been the lack of obedience, and he would not have been cleansed of his leprosy. So likewise, this man that was born blind, if he elected not to go to the pool of Siloam, he wouldn't have been made to have his sight. He would have still walked in his blindness. And so again, another beautiful lesson that we can learn from this scripture, from what happened here, is that there's just ought to be that simple obedience. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. That simple obedience. What the Word of God tells us to do, we follow in simple obedience. It enriches our lives. It gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us a sense of a oneness and a connection and having a strong and a building relationship with our Lord when we simply follow in obedience to the Word of God. And so it was a great day for this man that was born blind. It was a wonderful day. He now sees. He now beholds everything of God's creation. He sees the trees. He sees this pool of Siloam. He sees what water looks like. He felt water all the time, but now he's seeing. It's a glorious day for this man that was born blind. The best day of his life, by far. It was glorious for him. And yet we see in this chapter what happened. He was challenged in many ways by many people. And so the neighbors came and they noted him, and they were like, is this he? Or some said, yeah, that's him. Others said, it's like him, but it's not him. And then the blind man answers, the man that was blind answers and says, I am he. And as we see the dialogue between this man that was born blind and others, that he always answered honestly. He was just very sincere, very honest. He always just answered in that way. It is what it is. This is what transpired. And so he tells the neighbors and those that were there, yeah, that it was me. It was me. I was the one standing, sitting there begging, and I now see. And so they ask him, how were thine eyes open? There's that question. How? How were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. He said it exactly like it happened. He didn't embellish it. He didn't take away. He just simply spoke exactly in all honesty that exactly which transpired. It didn't make sense. But he spoke that which exactly that which transpired. And so they asked him, they said, where is he? And again, he answers honestly and says, I don't know. I don't know where he went. And so they bring him to the Pharisees, and they asked, the Pharisees also asked him, and he also tells them the same thing. He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. There were Jews there that they had their narrative. They had their viewpoint. It can the Sabbath has to be kept and in this manner and only in this manner. Anything outside of these bounds, God doesn't operate. Jesus told them, there's one greater in this place than the temple. And Jesus also told them at that same time, they're recorded in Matthew 12, Jesus also says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's greater than the Sabbath as well. And so he's revealing to them his greatness, and these Pharisees, they didn't get it. They had their narrative, they had their viewpoint that God was limited as to what he would do on this Sabbath, and he doesn't operate outside of those bounds. And some of the others were saying, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Some of the other Pharisees were challenging them and saying, well, let's look at this through the lens of truth. Let's look at this in the way maybe God would view it. Let's view this as how can one that is a sinner, that does evil things, restore the sight to a man that was born blind? And there was a division among them. It reminds me of the time when Peter was there in Caesarea, and actually in Joppa, and there was a sheet that came down out of heaven, you'll recall, and there was all manner of unclean beasts there. And there came a voice to Peter saying, rise, slay, and eat. And Peter responds and says, no, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever entered in me. And God responded by saying, what God hath cleansed, called not thou common. And so Peter's eyes were just beginning now to open up a little bit and understand more. And so he obeyed the voice that told him to go to Cornelius. And as he spoke the gospel to Cornelius, Cornelius also received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter had to now convey this back to the Jews. And he knew that there was going to be much pushback to what Peter had just done. And so now as he conveys to the Jews, this is what happened. I was having a vision that a sheet came down from heaven, and there was unclean things, animals on there. And I was told to rise, lay, and eat, and I went to Cornelius, and God opened the way. God opened the way, and a Gentile received the Holy Spirit. Peter conveyed that to the Jews. It was something that was unheard of for them. They couldn't understand it. It was not part of their narrative. It was not part of their viewpoint. It was not how they understood God. And so they marveled. And when they marveled, here are their words. And these are the thoughts that we should respond to when God does his great things. That when they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. This was something new to them. This was brand new. The Gentiles are receiving the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that God has granted unto them repentance unto life. And so some of these Pharisees that were there, they understood this. And they understood that God could work these great things. But there was a division then among them. So then they say again to the blind man, "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes?" And the blind man, the man that was born blind, who now sees, responded by saying, "He's a prophet." So again, this man that was born blind, he had his physical eyes opened, but now in addition to that, his spiritual eyes were opening up more and more. And so he comes to this conclusion, he's a prophet. And he's not afraid, again, to speak that to the Pharisees that were pressing him so, and who should have been rejoicing with him. The challenge and the conflict came in verse number 14, and it's where it says, "And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened their eyes." This now presents a conflict. It should have been that these Pharisees and these neighbors and everyone who beheld this great miracle of what God has done, they should have rejoiced with him. It was the greatest day of his life. They should have rejoiced with him. They should have had compassion that he had suffered this blindness his whole life and now could see. They should have rejoiced with him and shared in his leaping and praising God that he now sees. Well, this was done on the Sabbath, so it can't be a good thing. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" And so the parents asked with a little bit of trepidation, the answer, these Pharisees, and they say, "Yes, we know this is our son, and yes, he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, and who opened his eyes, we don't know. He's of age, ask him." Hands distance, arm's length, keep him away that we're not associated with this conflict. Think again of the great sorrow of this man that was born blind. He now sees. He's beholding his parents for the first time. He's seeing them. He's heard their voice. He's felt their touch. But he's never seen them before. And this man that was born blind, he sees them. And again, instead of rejoicing with him and embracing him and weeping with tears of joy with him, they're keeping their distance from him. A great, great sadness for him. And great agony that he had in his heart because of what was transpiring, all because the Pharisees had this narrative, this viewpoint, that on the Sabbath day you were not allowed to do even good. And Jesus said, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day?" So then the Pharisees say, "Then again they called the man that was born blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner." It's impossible to glorify God and in the same breath curse Jesus Christ. That can't be. There's no way that we can do that. We read that last Sunday morning. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. The blessing that they blessed God with by giving him glory was negated, was nullified because they called Jesus a sinner. And so, again, perhaps a reminder from last Sunday, let's guard our mouth. Let's guard our communication because with that we can condemn ourselves. And if we give glory to God after we condemn and curse others, then it nullifies, it negates the glory that we give to God. And so the man who was born blind answers and says, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Again, the blind man, the man born blind, was simply being very honest. "Well, you say he's a sinner. Some of you are saying, well, maybe he's not a sinner. I don't know if he's a sinner, but one thing I know, that I was born blind and now I see. That's one thing I know, and I am certain of that." And so they ask him again. They said, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Again, that question of how and not who. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. They reviled him. They had no regard for this man who can now see. It showed the condition of their heart to revile such a man where God did his great work in this man, and they wouldn't glorify the Lord for it because, again, it didn't fit their narrative of the Sabbath day. And so they say, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, referring to the Son of God, referring to the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, as simply this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Well, if we turn back a page and go back maybe either previous event in this day or very recent past, Jesus says to them very clearly, he says, I proceeded forth and came from God, who you call your Father. So he told them exactly who he was and from where he came. They didn't listen. They didn't want to hear that. And their ears were closed, and their eyes were closed, and their heart didn't have understanding, lest at any time they should be converted. And so they didn't hear this message that Jesus gave to them, saying that he proceeded forth and came from God. They said, we don't even know where he's from. Well, Jesus told them, I came and proceeded forth from God. And in regards to being Moses' disciples, and that knowing that God spake to Moses, they're making that claim that they know that God spoke to Moses. Jesus said earlier in this gospel, for if ye had believed Moses, ye should have believed me, for he wrote of me. If they were truly disciples of Moses, they would believe Jesus. They would know that he's the anointed one, that he is the Christ, because Moses wrote of him. And so the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. He's like, okay, wow, isn't this ironic? You're the spiritual leaders of the day, and you don't know who this man is or where he's from? And so his spiritual vision was being crystallized, and he was more and more understanding of who they were and what they held in high regard, and who Jesus Christ was, the Son of God. And it was becoming clearer to him that he was more than just simply a prophet or a good man. And so he says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. And we know that in the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so if we walk in a sinful way, we know that God will not draw near unto us. It will not hear us. Yet at the same time, as a verse was referenced Friday night, that the Bible says that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and shall turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and will be merciful and kind unto them and heal them and forgive them and heal their land. And so God does not hear sinners who have iniquity in their heart, but he does hear a repentant sinner. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Jesus Christ there made very clear, saying, I do the works of my Father. I hear his voice. I do what he would have me to do. And the blind man reminds them, since the world began, it was never so that a man that was born blind received his sight. And so he says, so he comes to this conclusion, his spiritual vision being crystallized that of who Jesus Christ was, that if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they reviled him again, said, thou was altogether born in sin, and you're going to teach us? And they cast him out. Spiritual pride, it could be so damaging. And sometimes we can come to that conclusion too, because if something doesn't fit our narrative, if something doesn't fit our viewpoint, if we limit God as to what he would do or what he can do, then we can have that spiritual pride as well. God gives us grace. He gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. We've ran out of time, and there's much yet to speak on, but I just want to maybe perhaps close with verse number 35, where it says that Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when they had found him, he said unto them, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" I really appreciate that the Lord Jesus Christ asked this man, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" That was the question he had for this man. It wasn't like, "Hey, how do you like your sight? Did you see the trees? You see the creation?" It wasn't those questions. He didn't ask them like, "How did it go there when you spoke with the Pharisees?" Or anything of that nature. He spoke right to the heart. He spoke right to the heart. Jesus asked this man, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" That's what's most important. That Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That's what's most important. Greater is Jesus Christ than anyone or anything. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of all. And we've come in Jesus' name to worship him as such. Truly, much more could be said with a chapter like this. May the Spirit of God speak to each and every one of us. Amen.